as we have, that you would think are absolutely impossible to overcome or live through. I come across some stuff here a while back, and I'd heard about this, so I'm gonna start out with just a little bit of a illustration thing. This is all true, what I'm reading now. This is all true. This is an introduction to in a little book by the by the wife of Jacob, Jake DeShazer. He was a bombardier on the Doolittle Raid of April 18th, 1942. Some of you have heard about Doolittle, the pilot and all that. You've seen, if you've seen or read any kind of military, you remember him taking off of that ship? If you've seen any kind of military stuff, I don't recommend a lot of books on military because they're always too rotten. But there's some good that doesn't have any bad language or anything. Thank God for that. But anyway, he was a bombardier, Jacob DeShazer, and they got shot down over the Japanese occupied China, and he was taken as a prisoner of war and spent unbelievable amount of time in solitary confinement. The longer he stayed in solitary confinement, as the natural man would, him unsaved, the more he hated the Japanese. And he hated them and hated them and hated them. For some strange reason, one day, one of those Japanese soldiers brought a bunch of books and just dumped them in his cell. One of those books was a Bible. Amen. I know this is going to sound impossible. He read that and read it and trusted Jesus Christ, his Savior, as a prisoner of war. Amen. Then his hate for his enemy turned to compassion and love. And so at the end of the war, back in, I think I got the dates here somewhere, I'll give it to you. In 1950, he went back to Japan as a missionary. While he was there, he made a little track and passing that track out to folks. And then there was folks, you know, that got saved, of course, and they was passing out the track. A man by the name, listen very carefully now because I can't pronounce his Japanese name. A man by the name of Mitsu Fushida got one of those tracks. Mitsu Fushida was the lead pilot of the bombing of Pearl Harbor. He read that. He got saved. I said, that's impossible. My wife and I were discussing this. I said, Jesus Christ could save Adolf Hitler if he would have trusted him and he'd save him. If he'd have turned from sin to him, God could have saved him. You said, that's too much. The Bible says Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. Came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You say, well, that's just too much. That's too much, isn't it? But when you get to thinking about that, do you realize, I had no idea about this. Somebody mentioned it, and I got on the eBay thing and looked up this. It's a little book called From Pearl Harbor to Calvary. Amen. I have seen on DVDs this man here sitting in his plane as they were fixing to fly off to bomb Pearl Harbor. It's out there in the archives. But yet, then in the 50s, after he got saved, believe it or not, he even come to America. It's a wonder if somebody hadn't shot him, but he come and give his testimony of how Jesus Christ had saved his soul. And he hadn't been dead too many years, but that's the truth. And so maybe you're facing things, or I'm facing things, There's been some things through life, and I thought, we'll never make it. We'll never make it. I've been in a place, my wife and I have been to places where I went to church. And I get to men together, and I said, I'm done. Ain't no doubt about it. It ain't anything, you know, I hadn't robbed the bank or chased off after some floozy. But I said, we can't go on. We're done. We've had it. We've had some men there in church tell us, if you quit, we quit. Because thus and so's happened to us, and so on. I had no idea. But I guess I was feeling sorry for myself or whatever it was. And so the Lord put us back on the ground. And here we are by the grace of God. By the grace of God. Amen. By the grace of God. Amen. And so I just wanted to give you that little illustration. And these little books, they don't cost hardly anything. I'll warn you before you even get into it that there's a reference in here to the one Bible reference to two or three of them to New International Version. This thing, do you realize he was saved mighty true before the New International Version come out? Maybe anyway. I'm telling you, they just cram everything in there. All right, if you got your Bible, we're going to talk a little bit more about the home. That's where the Lord directed. When he asked us to come, I went to pray, and I said, Lord, what in the world? And I got satchels. You see these little things? I looked for some work in there while ago, digging around. You see little old books like this, and I know the brother has the same thing. I've got three totes of these things. Just piles of stuff, and illustrative stuff and all that. And I love illustrations. I really do. I want to start today, if you go over to the book of Genesis. That's always a good place to start, isn't it? Genesis. And we saw we mentioned this verse. You've heard this verse at least 500 times. In the Genesis chapter 18, Genesis chapter 18, in verse 18, it said, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him. Now, God is talking here about Abraham, and you know he's telling about, you know, what he's going to do to Sodom, right? Everybody knows that. I'm not going to preach on that. I'm just telling you. I was going to make mention of this about Abraham. The Bible says, for I know him. God knows you.
Yeah.
You men folks, you ladies, wives, husbands, grandmas, grandpas, you children, God knows you. God knows you. He even knows your name. Knows your name. So don't get all, you know, you say, man, God don't know nothing about me. He knows you when you sit down, when you get up. The Bible says he knows your down setting and your uprising.
Right, right.
He knows when you sit down. He even knows what you're thinking right now.
Amen.
I always make mention of that about halfway through a message because folks half up mad and so on. So God knows what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, just try to get folks back on track. I know what it's like to sit out there. I enjoy sitting out there. Our pastor just skins me alive. I'm telling you.
Amen.
And I try to find some fault with him. See, that's what you do. You said, how do you know so much? I too am a man. And your dear pastor gets up here and takes a hide off of you. Some of the first things you think, I can already tell you what they are. You said, man, you got to be a prophet. No, I'm a man.
Yeah.
I can find some fault with you, I bet you. What about, and you bring up something way back. You see what I'm talking about?
Right.
Now I know none of you folks think that way, and that's good. Thank God, brother. You got a good bunch of folks. All right. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. See that? After him.
Right.
Did you notice that? After him. You did not. That's a shepherd there. A shepherd, he guides his sheep. You daddies are shepherds. You didn't know that, did you? We are. That's true. That we are a shepherd. David said in, this is a pretty good one here. In the book of Psalms 23, you remember this? He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, I want to make something here. You daddies and so on and so forth, he cannot be your shepherd without him being your Lord. You said, why could you say that? Because it says, the Lord is my shepherd.
Right.
You see what I'm talking about? You understand? Right. You understand? I know this is deep theology. You take a sentence, the Lord is my shepherd. And so I can go and run around and say, oh, he's my shepherd, he's my shepherd, he's my shepherd, all I want to. But if he's not my Lord, you understand what I'm talking about.
Right.
So we'll not get into that. But notice, he says this, his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. And if you're studying your Bible, daddies and mamas and boys and girls, you're going to find that a preacher cornered me on this here a while back, and it hadn't been no time since I read it. Oh, what he'd been reading, Ren 10:10 or Lone Ranger or something, I guess. And he got on to us about this, and I said, you realize that the reason why that God allowed the children of Israel to go in there and what we would call a massacre, it was because of the sin. One of them was sodomy. And that's clear. I'll tell you what you do. Read the 18th chapter of the book of Leviticus. You say, well, that's Leviticus. That's way back there. Yes, but God, my dear friend, he hadn't changed. Now, I understand. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a difference between the Old Testament and New Testament. I understand that. But, my dear friend, there's something about God. There's something about the way he works. There's something about he works. Circle and circle and circle. Well, anyway, we'll not get into all that stuff. All right, so you see here that the Lord God said about Abraham, he commanded his children and his household after him. Now, that's a tough verse. Now, here's a little amusing thing that we come across here a while back. I thought it was really funny in a way. I don't tell jokes, but this is a good one. It ain't a joke. It's just something. It's true. One of the church folk had invited the preacher and so on and so forth over to his house and all that, and they was visiting around. And this little old boy, here's a man standing here, and this little boy just kept looking, walking around and around and around and looking up at that lad. And this fellow said, well, son, what's the problem here? And he said, I was just looking. He said, my daddy said that you had idiot written all over you. Now, you better be careful as a daddy. You better be careful, because it's going to come out of that mouth of that child of yours.
Right.
And they'll spill the beans.
Right.
I'll tell you this, and this is on the serious side, and this is the truth. For the pastor in the many, 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 many years, and I tell you how many you think it's a bright night, or I ain't even going to tell you. I can, as a pastor, and year after year after year after year, when the family come through the door, mama's all smiling, daddy's here shaking hands, I could look into the eyes of those children and see if they've been backbiting church folks, backbiting the preacher, having him for lunch, having him for supper, or whatever. You understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. It'll show up in your children.
Yeah. Right.
I always told them, I begged them. I said, if you're gonna back talk and talk bad of the preacher, and I said, I deserve it, but I said, please don't do it in front of your children.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
You say, what are you telling us? Don't do it in front of your kids.
Yeah.
You said, yes, but Brother Maccabee, just be real kind and shut up.
Yeah.
He said, well, we'll do it. We'll do it in the bedroom. We'll do it in that. Yeah, and a birdie will tell it. A bird will tell it. You say, where's that at? That ain't in the Bible. You do greatly err not knowing the scripture. All right. Now we're going to... It's in there, man. This is so rough. I'll try to... Well, there's a song that says, a little bit of sugar will make the medicine go down. The medicine go down, but I hope you get the medicine.
Amen.
You know, medicine, they usually got... it's about 3/4 syrup. Especially if you're going to give it to a kid. And most of us ain't grown up anyway, so here we are. All right, so we're going to talk a little bit about the home. You said, well, man, you done said too much. All right, God made the home found in the King James Bible in the book of Genesis. The Bible makes it very clear that he made the woman. He brought her into the man, He said in Genesis chapter 2, the Bible said, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her into the man. And Adam said, now watch carefully this little verse here. You boys, where's boys at? Raise your hand, boys. There's some little boy. Hey, there you go. There's a boy. And there's a boy. And there's a boy. And so on. Amen, son. That's the way it is. Now listen to this verse. I want to read something to you. And it'll help you if you listen. Dad, Mom, you need to listen too. Now watch this verse 24. And by the way, this is also found in the book of Matthew. But anyway, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now God did a miracle here. He took one, Adam, and made two, Adam and Eve. Then he took two and made one.
Yeah, amen.
That's right there. All right, now listen, you boys. You're growing up. All you got to do now is do what Mom and Dad tells you to do. Children, obey your parents and the Lord. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. That's right. Amen, amen,
yeah.
Amen.
Right.
All right. There's a little deal here that I've seen as in going now then, what, 55 years of whatever we've been doing. There, I told you. Is I've seen young men reach the age of like 17, 18, 19, and 20, unmarried. And they say, I got to get out on my own. They got a job. They're driving back and forth home. They got a nice home. They got a nice wife, mama and dad and all of them taking care of them. The thing for you to do is stay at the house. You said, what? I'm not talking about quitting your job. I'm talking about when you get done off work, you go to your house, not to your apartment.
Right.
You say, where do you get this stuff? Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, comma, not go get an apartment, not live on your own. That ain't what it says. You leave father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. I'm telling it right. I know about one out of 1,000 believes this stuff. And you do, but I want to just thank God for you. Thank God for you. I mean, we go into churches all the time, and the preacher's daughter or whoever else, my dear friend, they ain't even there. And I said, what in the world's going on? Oh, they're working down at McDonald's.
Small preacher.
It ain't nothing but a pack of wolves in there and wolves driving through.
Right, preacher.
So you get mad. Yes, sir, I get mad.
Yeah.
Dad and Mom, you better get your head screwed on. Good and tight. I'm sorry my hair falling down. Worse my head this morning. It's fuzzy. What's fusing up there? Going crazy. All right. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. But shame came upon them after that sin moved into that household.
Right.
Amen. So you got to keep out the devil. All right. So we'll talk a little bit about the home. God, like we said a minute ago, God made the first home. It's a handmade home.
Yeah.
It's a handmade with the voice of God in his hand. You said, really? That's what it takes, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
Voice of God, that's the oracle. This is what I got right here. King James Bible. This is the oracle of God.
Yes.
Out of his mouth. Out of his mouth. He spoke, my dear friend. Here's what you boys and girls, and we all were holding up. And the B-I-B-L-E. All right, so we got the... By the way, this Bible, my dear friend, was in the, it has always been around. You said, always been around. Yeah. I really believe this. Now, you're going to think I'm nuts, but that's fine. I really believe the way back there when time wasn't even being counted, that one day God said, and he reached down under his throne and picked up a King James Bible. He said, now this is going too far. Okay, when I get to the judgment seat, the Lord said, Kenneth, you just exalted my word too much.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
If he honors that word even above all his name, I don't think I would have heard it. So he picked it up and he began to say, and God said. You say, where's that at? That's recorded in the King James Bible. And as God said, it was. And as God said, it is. Amen. You said, boy, I ain't never heard nothing like you. You're crazy. All right. It's good to be crazy. All right, so Dad, stand for the truth. The whole truth, nothing but the truth.
Yeah.
So help you God. A home. Now, I heard this in my own ears. It ain't a story made up. Many years ago, when down in Mississippi, when one of those hurricanes come through, it blowed people's houses away, and I could go into some detail, I ain't going to. There was a reporter in a gymnasium interviewing a family. This really happened. All right. There was several kids sitting around, and the mother and the children. And so this reporter had his mic, you know, and he'd come down to this little boy, probably about your age. You ain't a little boy, but you're a young man. How old are you? Eight. Good night, son. Eight. I think I remember when I was eight. That's been... Anyway, it's been a long time ago. Amen. You're in a good place. You're sitting by your mother. She's got her arm around you. Isn't it good to be loved? Oh, that's your mother. Amen. Mother, right? Oh, right here. Okay, I'll get you straightened up. Huh? Aunt, it's good to be loved by your aunt. Boy, you see when you don't know people. But anyway, so he come down here. We really messed up big down there. He come down to this little boy, this young man, probably about 8 years old. And he said, son, he said, I suppose that your daddy is out looking for you a home. The little boy said this. Now listen to me what he said. He said, no, sir. Daddy's looking for a house. We already got a home.
Amen.
Now you can't beat that.
Right.
You just can't beat that nowhere. That was good. I'll never forget that as long as I live. All right, so now we go on to a home. Home, it ought to be honorable. That's a good one.
Yes,
I don't think about twice in my entire life, or three times, that I ever preached on home. H-O-M-E, and use words, letters, like I don't know what you call that. But home, it ought to be honorable. Bible says that marriage is honorable in all, and the bed is undefiled, but adulterers and whoremongers God will judge.
Right, preacher.
All right, so it ought to be honorable. It ought to be a man and a woman, not a...
Yes,
I don't even want to get into that. But anyhow, so we got that settled in the Word of God. Honor. A man ought to honor his wife.
Right. Amen.
You say, where do you get this stuff? Well, how about the Bible? In the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter. This old book, something else, ain't it?
Amen.
It does. You say, well, you're just throwing out stuff. I want to tell you something. There's been times, listen to me, there's been times when I stood in the pulpit, brought a message, get under conviction.
Right.
And at the invitation, and when I got done preaching, go to the altar and get it right.
Yeah. Amen. Right.
I too am a man, just like that one that's pointing the finger. My dear friend, there's three or four pointing back at old brother Mike. You understand? There have been times. There have been times when I get in the pulpit and I'd said some kind of a hasty word that I didn't mean at all to my dear wife. And I'd get up the pulpit and Lord wasn't in 500 miles. And I'd say, he'd say, you remember, kiddo? I'd just get right down. You say, you're crazy, Lord. I'd get down from the pulpit, walk back to my wife, and whisper in her ear that I was sorry and ask her to forgive me. Then get back up, go back up there. The Lord said, now then, let's get started. You may be sitting here this morning, your prayers bouncing off. You see that little, them little crinkly things there? That's what happened. You had a smart aleck remark to your wife. Your prayer got to the ceiling. That's as far as it went. He said, man. Like I said, this was one of them messes you had to have a little sugar to let the message go down. But anyway, so you honor your wife. Look at your Bible in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands. Are you a husband? Likewise, ye husband, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Honor? Honor?
Amen.
Honor? What are you talking about,
right.
Honor. You know what honor is? A high estimation.
Right, yes, sir.
Esteem them very high. Isn't that good? You got a husband that esteems you very high. You got it made.
Amen.
So just enjoy it. Amen. Say glory to God, amen. You ladies, that'd be good. You ought to amen that. All right. Amen what the book says. Likewise, you husband dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Boy, that, you say, well, honey, I'm just weak. Oh, that's wonderful. A daddy will just take right over right then. My wife's had some problem with her hip. She's had some trouble with it and all that mess. So I try to help her out. She could lean forward in the kitchen trying to do... I tell these things, you're going to think I'm boasting, but I don't care what you think. And so I worship dishes. She'd feel bad because I was trying to wash the dishes. She said, "I'll just wipe them off." And then wipe them off, and she puts them in the water. But she couldn't stand like that right there. She got some help on that, and she knows how to stand now. So glory to God, I don't have to do the dishes. And so, you understand? Why should I do that? Because I honor her and I love her. I do believe that. I remember when I stood at the altar, and that preacher come up and said, "Kenneth, do you take this woman to be your wife? To love her and honor her and keeping her in sickness and in health?" I remember that. And you, dear ladies, the same thing. Is that what it said? Amen. So carry on, soldier. Amen. By the grace of God. The Bible says, as in the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Man, we don't need hindered prayer. We don't need none. We don't need none. No. A million times no. By the grace of God, no. And then, my dear friend, we ought to honor our dad and mama. You said, "Well, that when I'm 21, I don't have to worry about that." Again, you do greatly err.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I honored my dad. I'm going to tell you these things. You think I'm bragging? That's your prerogative. You can do it. I never, if my mother was alive today, she'd know where I was at.
Amen.
You say, "You're crazy. You're 74 years old." Yeah. You said, "You mean your mom would know where you're at?" She'd know where I was at. She'd know when I got back home. You say, "How'd she know?" I'd call her up in Missouri. Tell her. If it was a good meeting, I'd say, "Mom, we had a real good meeting." And so on and so forth. And so on. Why? Because I honor her. The Bible says, look here, in your King James Authorized 16:11. "Children, obey your parents to the Lord, for this is right. Honor. There it is. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Honor. Honor to where honor is due, and it's due to daddy and mama. You say, "Well, I'm 60 years old. My dad and mom's still living. They can get away by they get by on their own." No, they can't. You say, "Well, they got plenty of income. They got money in the bank." They can't get along without you. You say, "What do you mean?" You need to honor them by calling them up regularly and talking to them and go hug them and so on. I miss mine, I'll be honest with you. All right, so honor them. Honor. And then you got the word, the letter O, others. Dad and mom spend time with your kids. You know what your kids want more than anything in the world?
Right.
You.
Right.
Do you know why a child will do is He'll go and color in a coloring book. You couldn't tell it what the picture was when he got done with it. And they bring it to daddy. And they bring that picture that they colored to daddy and the mama to show them. You say, "What do they want?" They want your attention. They want your attention. You can buy them all kinds of things. You can fill a yard full of swing sets and seesaws and bicycles and everything else. And which that, I ain't again of that. I'm just telling you, what they want is you.
Right, preacher.
And I made a big mess of that when I was growing up. The church and everything else come first. And thank God the youngins in church now. But I want to tell you something. We've been through some stuff. Woo! I wouldn't even begin to tell you. All right, others. Time with your wife and time with your kids. I want to tell you something here. Dad and mom. When I was a kid growing up, wasn't brought up in church, any of that. I'm sorry to tell you that. I really am. I didn't know nothing. But I do not understand. I'm gonna give you a word here. I may have not even turned this thing on. Is it on?
Amen.
All right. You know, when I was growing up, I never was insecure. I really don't know female. I'm a serious athlete. I do not understand what the word means. I read it, but I don't know what it means. You said you break even if... No, because daddy and mama love one another. You said, "How do you know that?" Now here's the thing. It stands out in my mind right now, and I'm telling you. 6 o'clock in the morning, my daddy would get up. We get up around 6, a little bit before 6, because we had to walk a long way to church for a long time, and then caught a bus, and we was at the end of the line and all that business. It took a long time to get there. Daddy would walk to the door,
Heavy blunt stuff. Going to work at Brown Shoe Top in Piedmont, Missouri. My mother would come up behind him. I was going to tell you. And slap him on the backside. Then she would kiss him. And Dad would go, every morning. Every morning. I want to tell you something. You said, that the little things? That little thing.
Amen. Amen, preacher.
I think I remember one time, but they didn't let us know. Mom and Dad was in a ruckus. They didn't let on in front of us kids.
Amen.
But we were up at Grandma Middleton's and Grandpa Middleton's for almost a week with us boys and Mom. And one day Dad drove up and we all went home. I never thought about that till years later. But it wasn't no brawl in the house where the sheetrock had big holes knocked in it. And it's always the bathroom door that gets caved in. You say, how do you know this stuff? I visit people, visited. It never happened to our house. But anyway, thank God. All right. So, and here's something else. My wife and I can go down to Walmart. And one thing, my wife dresses. This is going to kill me, folks. You shoot me, I know that. And this will be the end of our business. But anyway, my wife, 7 days a week, dresses just like she's dressed.
Right? Amen.
All right. Amen. So, me and my wife get out of the van. A lot of times, if I'm thinking, I'll open the door, or put her back in, and then shut the door and so on. But we'll walk in a lot of times in the Walmart holding hands. Here's both friends on the back. Holding hands. You ought to see the looks that Mom gets and I get just because we're walking around because we love one another.
Amen, preacher.
Hey, they figured out so.
Yes, good for
you. Now, when you grow up and you get married, you love that wife. Is that right? Yeah, okay. Got one right. How about something that ain't your own? You going to love that wife? Not at all. And so, and then, I just want to throw this in, too. I have to admit this. I'm going to admit it. I'm going to admit it because you might have heard it from the pulpit before. Right here. I have no idea, so see why I'm brand new here. We've had preacher evangelists come through down at Bible Baptist. Everybody come through, we preach. Missionary come in, I say, you get up there and preach. They give you 5 minutes or you can have the whole time. But anyway, that was my bit. That was it. But here's what always got me. Here the evangelist would be leading up to something. And then say, the pastor take care of that. I got to thinking, I would give a $100 bill for that verse. So far, I haven't given them that. Do you realize where that modesty comes in? It comes in the apostle. Paul, the evangelist, Timothy, and so on. You do get that, don't you?
Right.
Was he a pastor? No. Isn't it strange? But anyway, and so my wife and I, we go into the store. First thing that happens, I watch women, folks. Now, not the way you think. And I'm watching them women, folks. And here's what they do. Now, this happens over and over and over because she's dressed modest. They'll look at her, me. Then they look down at my wife and back up. And then they,
yeah, right.
Nature is teaching you to keep yourself covered up.
Well, preacher, that's good.
Amen. That's the truth.
Well.
Yes, that's the truth. Okay, let's go. So you go to the grocery store, you go to Walmart, be courteous and obedient. And hold hands and watch people's reactions. And you children, when you get to the checkout, don't grab candy off of the shelf and scream like a panther.
Right, preacher, go on.
We'd be talking to somebody on the phone. We'd be talking to somebody on the phone that got a bunch of kids, and I understand this. I really do. And you hear, wah! And I said, good night, sir, what brother, whatever. I said, there's a panther in your house. You better hang up. He said, man, you're crazy. All right, we about to put down the M. Mother, mother. And there's something else about that mother. I think about mouth.
Amen,
you come? There's something bad about there's something bad about a mouthy wife. That's just all there is to it. Now, my wife is not mouthy. I have to admit, thank God for that. The Bible said in the book of, you say, how come you've got some, I tell you a little bit, if you put out all of the laugh and all like that and everything I say, you'd already throw me out the door. A little bit of sugar make the medicine go down. All right. In the book of Psalm 19:14, it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You ought to praise your wife. D.L. Moody said, praise your wife, even though it might frighten her at first. Boy, my wife can cook good tonight. I'm being honest with you. She makes the best gravy, the best biscuits, and so on and so forth. Whatever it is, it's the best. You say, why are you saying that for? Did you, dear ladies, ever mess up on anything? Now, let me tell you men something, what to do. Now, you can ask my wife. I'm not going to give her a mean look that she answers wrong. Now, I like biscuits, and I mean just next to being perfect. I like, what? Well, I like it. Everybody's different. My girl's all different. I said, when are you going to cook them biscuits? But anyway, so when she messes up, here's what you do. Here's the words to say. Just the way I like it. You said, that's right. Keeps peace. My mother and I was talking about a while ago. We used to call up Mom. And I'd say, Mom, how you doing? She had ever seen a different problem. I said, Mom, how you doing? She said, oh, fine. I said, Mother, are you lying? She said, yep. That's the truth, too. I'm not telling jokes. I'm just telling the truth. All right, so there, that M, that mouth. You want to read Proverbs. I'll encourage you to read Proverbs every day. This is the fourth day of Proverbs. Third day, I'm getting messed up. Third day of Proverbs. I read it. I can't remember what I read, but I read it already. But I remember when it comes into those things about the mouth, because those are the things that usually get me in trouble. All right, then we're right down to the end. We're going to close. E. There's the H and honorable and O for others and time with the kids, all that. M for mother. And there's some good reading in there, dear ladies, in Titus chapter 2. You said Titus 2? I didn't know that was in the Bible. That's a good one out there. Titus 2, aged women. Yeah. Mom, that's you. I hate to say it. I really. Of course, she married me, which is just a little old bitty thing. But anyway, my wife, aged women. What is the aged women to do? Teach the young. Do you know what is strange about women that I find in the King James Bible? The husband is the one that is commanded to love the wife, not the wife to love the husband. Amen. She's taught that.
Right,
you say, where do you get this stuff? That's Titus 2.
Amen.
That the elder women teach the younger to love their husband. That's what it says. Isn't that strange? Well, anyway. And so the E, you say, what's that mean? Equal. Now, it's not, don't get me wrong, it's not 50-50. You said, what? No, it's not 50-50. Whoever said that's wrong. It's 100%, 100%. Dad in his place, mom in her place.
Right, preacher.
You said, where in the world do you get this? It's in your King James Bible. Husbands, love your wives. How much? Well, it's in Ephesians chapter 5. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so that the wives be under their own husbands and everything. A woman don't have any problem with that. She knows that her husband loves her.
Husbands, love your wives. How much, Kenneth? Whoever your name is. Husbands, love your wives. Comma. That's when you're supposed to say, well, how much? See that in your King James Bible? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Nothing like a dad being a good example. You say, well, man, I know Casey. Yes, I do too. And there's some horrible, horrible train wrecks. Get back on track.
Amen.
Forget those things which are behind. Press on down the road. Just give her, just shovel on the coal. pull down the whistle, and go on down the track. Amen. Amen. And amen. Oh my! Many years ago, when I was a student in high school, I went to 4 years, and Miss Coder, I still remember her name. She was a jewel. Her dad was an undertaker, and I know there's times when she would like to have seen me setting up her, laying up there. But anyway, Coder Funeral Home, Miss Coder, she was a jewel. She taught us fundamentals of music. One day there in the class, now you got to remember, I was a teenager, and I'll never forget this song as long as I live. And I'm not going to sing the whole song, just one little stanza. That'd be enough for you. And so we had different kinds of music and stuff, and she was putting this one on. Some of you probably heard it, and I wouldn't tell you where it come from, because I'd never be invited back, that's for sure. But anyway, so she was playing this, and it stuck with me. And I've never forgotten it. And this man is talking, he said, I just can't figure out women. What in the world am I going to do? Should I be mean and abrasive and all like that? And then his friend said, how do you handle a woman? You love her, love her. Love her. That's all I know of the song. It works.
Amen.
So my wife's got to love you. And I do love you, Mom. Oh, what a Savior. He died, was buried, and rose again. Coming back. You're not saved by the good grace of God. Oh, my. I don't know whether there's anybody not saved here or not. Maybe a church member, not saved. Been baptized, still not saved.
Yeah.
I don't know what your problem may be as far as that is, what you're dependent on to get to heaven. But there's one way, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus' blood. We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. I'm closing. Whether you like the man or not, I'm going to give you something here, and I'm not going to tell it. I'm just going to let you do it yourself. If you know anybody that has Colossians commentary by Brother Ruttner, that's Philippians or Galatians and Philippians, however it is, Colossians. It's just, if you've got that, turn over to Colossians 1:14 and read those two pages of illustration. I've read those. I took the pages out and carried them with me and lost my Bible carrying case. I have no idea what went. But anyway, so I bought me a whole commentary for that one illustration. It's unbelievable. So I'll let you look it up. Colossians 1:14. We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. It's unbelievable. You'll see, unbelievable.
Amen.
Well, if you're here today, I can tell you that the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, finished for all sin. He ought to be the head of our home.
Amen.
We don't have children at home. Our youngest is 41. Our oldest is 53. Wow. Anyway. Then we got two girls in between there. Mom and I. But Mom and I want to be a good example. Whether we're on the street or whether we're at Walmart or whether we're at a place eating, by the grace of God, I want to be a good example.
Amen.
Lord help us. Lord help us. Pray for us. We need it. Well, let's pray. Father, we sure do appreciate the good time. Lord, I don't know if anybody here not saved or not, but Lord, you do. And they do. Ain't no doubt, Lord. They know. And Lord, we know too that if whosoever come to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's what you said. And Lord, I remember that. As a 15-year-old boy, I came to you and you saved me. I trusted you, Lord, to save me. And you did. And I thank you. Thank you, Lord. Bless the church here, God. Help us all for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.